Blog Talk Radio.
Today, truly, we give God glory for everything that he's done in our life. Amen. We thank him, amen, for first loving us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We welcome you once again to a time of reflection with New Destiny Ministries, where we are empowering souls for destiny. How do we do that, Sister Bernard? Well, we do that by getting into the Word of God. We do that by being obedient to His Word. We do that by heeding to His call. Amen, amen, amen. Every day that the Lord renew His mercies upon us, it's another opportunity to give Him glory. It's another opportunity to be empowered to pursue your destiny, because we all have a destiny in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray that you had a beautiful and glorious weekend. Amen. We're back on the line again, and still feels a little strange not being on 5 days a week, but I tell you, God is yet moving on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. We can still tune in and hear a word from the Lord. We're just so excited about what God is doing. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about what God is doing, not only in my life, but in the lives of His people. Amen, amen. It gives us great pleasure to greet again each and every one of you. We're excited about this series that we're continuing, the Acts of the Apostles, and we're just so blessed to have one of our apostolic trailblazers on the line with us today. We thank God for him still yet being in the land of the living. We thank God for him still holding up the bloodstained banner. We thank God for him still blazing the trail. Amen. We're just so happy to have the Honorable Bishop Alfred P. Singleton Sr., amen, who is the diocesan bishop of the state of Michigan under the Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith. Amen. He was one of the founding fathers of this organization that has been in existence for over 50 some odd years. Amen. So we're honored to have him with us. He is also one of the senior bishops of the Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith. Amen. So it is a pleasure to have him with us. We are continuing again, expounding on the Acts of the Apostles. Amen. And God has been moving. Amen. He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Amen. If there's no signs and miracles and wonders, you better head for the border. Amen. So it gives us great pleasure to have Bishop with us today. Amen. And we're going to open up the lines. Amen. Amen. And let him come and expound on chapter 9 and anything else that the Lord has laid upon his heart that he feel moved to share with the people on today. We are ready to eat. Amen. So God bless you, Bishop. So happy to have you with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much, and greetings to all of my listeners, radio listeners out there. And we said, praise the Lord, and send greetings to each of you. And I'm elated to be on this broadcast one more time. I've turned 86 years old, and so I'm still plugging along by the grace of
Woo!
God. And
glory,
I think it's very,
glory.
Very true. I agree with you. We're just trying to tell people about the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's able to save anyone. Now, I want to share, Adrian, with three passages in the book of Acts. I want to read something in chapter 1. I want to go to chapter 26. And
okay.
Then dealing with chapter 9. I'm dealing with all three of these passages because I think they are very important to what we want to talk about. The book of Acts is a very profound passage of Scripture. And, of course, this is the last kingdom. This is the last kingdom. I hope you hear what I'm saying. This is the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, he dealt with Adam, and that started in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And that went, chapter 1 of the book of Genesis dealt with Adam. And it lasted until the third chapter of Genesis. And God said the end has come. He was sorry that ever made man. He's going to destroy man and beast. Everything with the breath of life that's not going to be in the ark. And God commissioned Noah to build him an ark. And he gave him all the specificities of to do how to do it. And he did that, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And they went to work to build an ark. He told the people it was going to rain. They didn't believe it. But he said, God said, it's going to rain. He's going to send a rain. It had never rained before. And, of course, I'm quite sure they want to question his authority, where he got his knowledge from, what school he went. But God told Noah to build the ark. Noah built the ark. And, of course, when he did that, and all the specimens that God had said he wanted in the ark, they went into the ark. God locked the door so Noah or no one else could get out, neither could they get in. And it rained, it rained, it rained. And, of course, we did what we generally do. We didn't want to change horses in midstream. But God is not saying, if you don't stop him before he starts, he's not going to stop. And, of course, he's going to do what he said. So it rained, and, of course, all, you know, that tides that lifted boats. And Noah was on the water according to what God had said. And there, in the ninth chapter of the book of Genesis, the water came, was subsided, and Noah and Ham, Shem, and Japheth, they came out of the ark with their wives. Now remember, all of Adam's children was dead, all of them. All of them was dead. Only person was alive was Noah and his family, his sons, and children. So when they came out in the ninth chapter of the book of Genesis, God made a covenant with him, with Noah, and told him to be fruitful and replenish the earth. And this was the second kingdom that God dealt with man, his thing. Mm-hmm. And we must remember in the Bible that God had ordained that he's going to have him a people before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. So I'm trying to build something here to get our audience out there to see in simplicity what I'm talking about. This is the last kingdom. Now, each one of them ran their course. Neither of them ran parallel to the other one. When one ended, the other one taken up. So we had Noah. Now that ran through the law, right up through the high priest to that. Now we're dealing with the book of Acts. And that's why I'm going back there to get the handle on what I'm talking about now. Now, if we look at the book of Acts, chapter 1, it says, the former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, and after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto his apostles, who he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself after by many infallible proof. That's in verse number 3 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts. So now, a new kingdom is started now. That's the kingdom of God's dear Son, you see. And the reason why Jesus' kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, because in the book of St. Luke, when Gabriel and that was in taking care of his duties, of Zacharias dealing with John the Baptist, and of course you know about that. He stood in the presence of God, and he told Zacharias that Elizabeth was going to have a child. According to medical science, she was barren. But he said God was going to do it. So God brought John the Baptist, and by giving Elizabeth, then her get pregnant, and delivered the baby, the same angel Gabriel went to Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was a woman, never touched, a man never touched her. She was She was a wonderful person. But the Holy Ghost said to Mary, "Thou art chosen by God." I'm paraphrasing something. "And you're going to bear a child. And you're going to call his name Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us." So Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And that happened. So if it hadn't been for God, wouldn't have been no John, wouldn't have been no Jesus. But here God is carrying down his through his kingdom, the last call, and Jesus Christ is the last call. And chapter 8 of the book of John, Jesus said to the Jews, "Except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin." So here we are in the book of Acts. Now, the Holy Ghost, he said, through the Holy Ghost, and verse number 2, until the day in which he was taken up, verse 2 of chapter 1, and after that, through the Holy Ghost, he gave commandment unto his apostles and to those that he had made choice of. Now, that's in chapter 1. Now, in chapter number 9, which our lesson, what we're dealing with today that you wanted me to teach on, and I'm happy to do that. But in chapter number 8, now the Holy Ghost had fallen. They had converged there upon Jerusalem for the spring harvest. God had them to do that. And, of course, they didn't know what they was doing, but God had them to do that. Go to there and stay there because what he was going to do. Now the Holy Ghost was sent down from heaven as Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, upraised his hand and blessed them, and a cloud received them out of their sight. So here we are now. They're filled, 120 of them, filled with the Holy Ghost. And, of course, then persecution set in. I want you to look at chapter 8 of the book of Acts, the same one. And it says about Saul was consent unto his death at the time that the first martyr of the church was killed. That was the man of God who they stoned to death, Stephen, and stoned him to death because he was preaching about Jesus because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't accept the words of the prophets. And that's why they had such a difficult time. But Saul did. And now we go to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, and we'll deal with him. So here Stephen was stoned to death. Saul was a young man that held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death. That was Paul, subsequently. Now, in chapter number 9, and it says, Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, this is in chapter 9, verse 1, went into the high priest and desired the letter to Damascus and to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, didn't make any difference. He's going to bring them back bound to Jerusalem. What I want to stress today to the listening audience out there, this is the last call. There will be no other kingdom besides this one, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that is in the scriptures, the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, here Saul, who was not just only a Pharisee, but he was a radical. He was a mean man. All of this shows us that God can change the heart of anyone. It doesn't make a difference who you are. All you ask, you don't ask for a resume in this kingdom. You don't ask where you've been, what you have done. He only asks two things, a broken heart, a contrite and a spirit that have repented, and God will do the rest. And so this is what is happening here. You find it happened with Saul of Tarsus. Verse number 2, and desire him letters to Damascus, at the synagogue, If he found any in this way, whether it be men or women, you're going to bring them back to Jerusalem bound. Now, in verse number 3 of chapter 9, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. Now, this is Saul, breathing out threatening, using vulgarity, probably what he was going to do with the saints and how he had been so viciously attacking them. And said, verse number 3, and certainly there shone around about him a light from heaven. From heaven. And this light was so bright, it was brighter than the noonday sun. And God knew how to get your attention and my attention. He knew what to do if you want to make us do something. So in verse number 4, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, we have no record in the New Testament where Saul ever met Jesus. We don't have any record where he ever met him. He knew about him, just like the king when Jesus went to the king that was sent unto Jesus was sent unto the king, and he wanted Jesus to do some tricks for him. And Jesus refused. He was dumb as a beast, as a sheep before a shepherd. He opened not his mouth. He didn't have to prove anything, because what he had proved through his life of deliverance and healing and casting out demons and devils and power, that he had to forgive sin. He didn't have to do it. But here we are now. Jesus is going back to glory, sent back the Holy Ghost, has ordained his disciples to carry out his message with power. So in verse number four, and he fell on to the earth. This is Saul on the road to the message in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. What the lesson we have. And heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 4. And verse number 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? Question. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecute. It is hard to kick against the pricks. Now, this is Saul, and Jesus talking to him. He fell to the ground. He was blinded by the greatness of the light shining upon him, brighter than the noonday sun. And, of course, didn't care how mean he was, God can get your attention. But he don't pour new wine in an old bottle. Don't do that. He talked about that during his public ministry, Jesus did, that you don't put new wine in an old bottle. That's why you must be born again. And that's why people have to can't do right until they get right. And there's a lot of people out there trying to do right, and very sincere. Some have not heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ by being born and start just shaking hands and joining a church. That's one thing. That's just part of it. You're on your way, but you haven't got there yet. You must be born again. That's the Bible. Now, in verse number 6, and he trembling and astonished and said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Question. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city. It shall be told thee what thou must. Now, I want you to watch that, must. You see, being born again, it's a commandment that you and everyone else must do. And God is not going to make us do it, but he'll make us wish we had it, did it. And so here this mean man of Tarshish was a mean man. He made people blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Now in verse number 6, trembling, he was trembling in astonishment. Lord, what will you have me to do? And he said, Lord, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. Verse 7. And the men which journey with him stood speechless, hearing a voice. And that's the mystery of God and how he can do things. But seeing no man. They heard the voice, but they didn't see nobody. Now here he is. God is dealing with him. Now what he's doing, he's breaking down his spirit. In verse number 8, and Saul arose from the earth and went, and his eyes was open. He saw no man, but they led him by his hand and brought him unto Damascus. Verse 9, and he was there 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. So he was fasting. He didn't have nothing to eat. Didn't have nothing. And he was, I don't think he was worried about anything to eat. He was concerned about his soul, just like a lot of you out there. And we all should be concerned about our soul. We should hunger and thirst after righteousness. And when we do that, we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here Paul is saying, and Ananias is saying to him, and he didn't give him, and verse number 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said he, Lord, in a vision, arise, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight Street, and enter into the house. Now here Jesus is dealing with Ananias, but Paul was so mean, Saul was so mean, and had a record so bad, he was afraid. He had Jesus talking to Ananias, telling him what he was, what to do. But he had heard so much about Saul. He was just not a Pharisee, but he was a radical, and he was terrible, and had a terrible name. Doesn't make any difference how radical you are and how terrible one may be, but I have seen people and heard that folks took their pistols and laid them down at the altar because God is a good God. He knows how to change your heart. I have seen where people that was, man was so mean until he would burn his wife with iron, but you know God saved him. Change his heart and fill him with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. But you can't do right until first you got to get right. Verse number 12 of this passage, and had seen in a vision, now Ananias is talking, a man named Ananias coming unto him, putting his hand on him, on his head, and he that he might receive his sight. Verse number 13. Then Ananias answered, I have heard. Now listen to this. I've heard by many of this man, because he was a terrible man. But what God care about your background? He don't care about your background. All he wants you to do is repent. You don't have to have a resume to come to God. We don't have to have a burnt offering sacrifice to take to the high priest. All we need to do is take a heart that is humble and take a spirit that is broken, and God will do the rest. I know he will. I've been for nearly 70 years as a young man, wasn't married, but God can sustain you, his grace. And that's the battle cry today, that you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, in chapter 2, as he had led them for his Bethany, lift up his hand and blessed them, but he told them to go on to Jerusalem. Don't stop here in these mountains. Go there and stay there until you be endowed with power. That's what the world needs now. Is power. You can't fight the devil if you ain't got no power. You can't beat the devil running if you ain't got no power. And don't tell me about healing and delivering. Oh, God can do all that, but the devil can do all that too. He can do all that. He can't save nobody. He's on his way to hell, and he's trying to take everybody he can. The Bible said that hell is provided for the devil and his angels. And all nations forget about God. Verse number 14. And here he had what authority from the chief priests to bind all that called on thy name. But the Lord said unto him in verse 15, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. Listen, there are people that have counted you out and counted me out. Maybe put bad mouth on you and going to die before you get a certain age. Thank you, Jesus. But if God got something for you to do, he knows how to help.
Bishop.
And that's all you have to do. Look to the Lord. This is a powerful book here. This is Acts of the Apostle. Is where it started in this last church of this latter day saints of the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you note here in this book here where God had saved the people and brought them in and give them the Holy Ghost, and verse number 15, and the Lord said unto him, go thy way. He's a chosen vessel unto me. And that's what happened. And, of course, Adonijah went in and laid hands upon him and said unto him, arise, Brother Saul, and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord, and washing away your sin. That's what he had. And verse number 20 says, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue instead of going down there binding all those people and bringing them back to Jerusalem. He went down there and started preaching to them. You know why? Because God had changed his heart. And my friends out there in the radio listening audience, that's what has to be done. The heart of the person has to be changed. And who can do that? Nobody but Jesus. It's his blood is the thing. It was not possible that the blood of bulls and heifers and doves could atone for the sins of the world. It was not possible. And so here now he breathing out, threatening, started out, headed to the bastards, but when he got there, his heart had changed. Isn't that wonderful what God can do? So now Paul was a radical Hebrew Pharisee. And you got those in Jerusalem today. I've been there. They don't even go inside of the walls of the old city. They go to the Wailing Wall. They go up there and pray and put little messages, written messages in the cracks of the wall, saying Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, and things of that sort. But they don't go in the inside of the wall because they are afraid they'll contaminate where the temple was supposed to be, and that is the Rock of the Dome inside that, and that was built by the Arabs, not the Jews. And that's when the daily sacrifice, now that's another subject, but that's when the daily sacrifice was taken away. You find that in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, 8, 9, and that is talking about that. But all that is happening in our world today, and of course, we need God to help us in this latter day. Bernard?
Yes, sir, Bishop.
Now,
all right, Bishop. Can't hear you.
He showed him all that. Now he has been converted. He is working for the Lord, and he just is and determined to do for Jesus as he was for the devil. But now they had vowed to kill this man, Saul of Tarsus, subsequently Paul, because he had been converted and he accepted the truth of Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the baptism in the name of Jesus. And if you know, and they went down into, Philip went down to Samaria, and thank God.
You're fading out, Bishop.
With the Holy Ghost. Simon himself was baptized. Then he wanted to buy the power. So he didn't want to get out of business. That was his thing. But his heart wasn't right. And you can't get God's spirit with a bad heart holding on to it. You got to release it and let God have his way in your life. Now, here in chapter 26 of the book of Acts, same book, at the end, Paul had been preaching, evangelizing, and telling the story of Jesus, but now they was after him to kill him. They had him bound, and of course he was on his way because he had appealed to see Caesar in Rome. And of course he was intercepted here by Agrippa, who was king, and noble Fester. Now, these people came from the room of academia, and Agrippa knew about Paul because he was a holistic Jew himself, and he knew what he was talking about. But I want you to listen to this now. This is the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, and verse number 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. Now, verse number 2, he said, I think myself happy. Now, you can think yourself happy and haven't got no money. But Paul said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. Now, listen what he said. Because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Now, he was accused of the Jews. Now, what was he accused of the Jews? The same thing, that he was standing for the power and the word of Jesus Christ. Especially because, verse 3, this is what he said to Agrippa, king. Especially because I know that to thee, you are an expert in all the customs and questions with among the Jews. You know, you're an expert. Now, if you want to talk to somebody, know something, to understand, you want somebody that know what they're talking about. So Agrippa was an expert. He was expert in all the Jewish customs. And he said, that I know, now listen, of the Jews, wherefore I beg you, beseech you, to hear me patiently. In other words, don't cut me off. Don't interfere. But now, in the course of this conversation here, and Agrippa didn't cut him off, but noble Fester couldn't wait. He had to holler out. We're going to read a little of that. And the Jews. Now, in verse number 4, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, known all the Jews which knew me from the beginning of that, I testified after the manner of a strict sect of religion. Now, he was a strict sect Pharisee, and they thought they had a divine order from God to interpretate the scripture, but they missed it. They missed it. See, they thought Jesus was coming, going to be riding on a white stallion, but he came in on a donkey. And that's what people say. God doesn't need what we got only to help him do his work in the earth. Now, verse number 6, and now I stand and of judgment for the hope of the promise made unto God unto our father. In other words, Paul was not saying anything no more than what the prophet said. That's all he's talking about. Now, here each one of these kingdoms, as I told you, ended and the other one taken up. Now, the kingdom that of the law and all that and the prophets, all that ended, and there was about 450 years of Saul's time that elapsed, that they didn't get anything from God, from Isaiah and down to the New Testament. But here they was talking about God and what he had done for Israel, and they're looking for signs, and God said there will be no sign given you save the sign of Jonah in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And so shall the Son of Man in the belly of the whale. So shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of earth. And that's what God was dealing with. Now on to verse number 7. The rabbi standing, striving all day. God is saying to them. So here Paul is talking to Agrippa, and he's talking to Noble Fester. But you know what? Noble Fester couldn't hold his peace. He said, much learning have made you mad.
Yeah. And
of course, Paul said, listen, this man might have been set at liberty, but he wanted to appeal to Caesar. So there was nothing that was found in Paul that he was wicked and going contrary to what God had said. He obeyed the prophets, and Israel missed it because they refused the words of the prophet. They were seeking for a sign, and there would be no sign given. So here we are in the book of Acts, the last kingdom, there'll be no more. And Jesus said in the 8th chapter of the book of St. John, except you believe that I'm he. To the Jews, he said, you'll die in your sin. You don't need a resume. You don't need a background and anything but a repentant heart out there in radio land. Regardless of how deep in sin you are, God can make them whiter than snow. He can wash you. And that's what we are talking about and trying to get you to see over the world where we are speaking. And we so need God today. Amen. All right.
Yes, Bishop. Wow. Wonderful, wonderful lesson. I know you could teach all day on that, the beginning of the church, the Acts of the Apostles. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
What a great, great lesson. Amen. To just be able to sit at Jesus' feet and just hear what he is saying to the church in this hour. Bishop, see, this is the last kingdom. Won't be anymore. This is the last
kingdom.
There will be no more. Amen. The door is yet open. Hallelujah. I like what you said about you not needing a resume, Bishop. Hallelujah.
No.
God don't care what kind of background you have, as Bishop have expounded.
Yeah, he's not asking for that. See, now under the second kingdom, that ran all the way up to the high priest, you know, and then they had to put blood on the scapegoat and let him out in the interior. But no more.
No
Man
more.
Of sin, blaspheming, shall be forgiven the Son of Man. And he, even that blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. But all the rest of it, all you got to come with a broken heart, and God will save you. And so what happened in this 8th chapter here, where they went down to Samaria, and Philip went down, verse number 5, to the city of Samaria, and preached unto them Christ. And even Simon the sorcerer, the bewitcher, some people, they thought he was a big man, rich and poor, bowed to him. But when he heard the preaching of Philip, he heard the preaching and saw an unclean spirit crying with a loud voice came out of him. And but there was, verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time he beseeched the people with witchcraft, and and stuff and things of that sort. But the gospel of Victor, until he was baptized and joined the believers. But I want you to note something here, what we're looking at in verse number 16. For our verse number 15 and 16, then we're going to quit here, I suppose. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet it had not fallen on any of them. They only had been baptized in the name, N-A-M-E, name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands upon them, and they got received the Holy Ghost. This is the power of God in action. All right. My God.
Well, Bishop, I'd like to ask a couple of questions. I heard this was the last scripture that you read, that they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm seeing in this 21st century church that some are saying that baptism isn't essential.
Well,
what is your thought on that?
There it is right here, Evangelist. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, it tells you, in the 15th verse, we'll deal with the 14th. Now when the apostles which are at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of the God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as of yet it had not fallen on none of them. Only they were baptized. Now this is in the 16th verse. Only they were baptized in the name, not Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but in the name of Jesus. That's where the power, that's where the blood is. You see? Of Christ for the remission of their sin. And when they got through with that in the verse 17 verse, and then they laid their hands upon them, and they received.
And they received.
That's right, they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. So there you go. And when Simon saw that laying on their apostles' hands, and they got the Holy Ghost, he wanted to give them some money to get that, but he had not. They told him, your parents and your mother's buried with you, because think that God promises will be by giving money. It's not that way. It's a free gift. Only thing you have to give is a broken heart, contrite spirit.
And a contrite spirit. Hallelujah.
But that's all you need, regardless of where you are. You're in a place where you got a flap in front and one behind. God is where you are. And all you got to give up to him. He'll make the crooked straight for you. He'll bring light into darkness and dispel the darkness and give you strength to go. I want all of you out there.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, that was a heavy lesson there. Hallelujah. From one of the best, Bishop Alfred P. Singleton of the Bread House, Lansing, Michigan. I tell you, Bishop, that was rich. And just another question. We're talking about the Acts of the Apostles. We're talking about the power. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. And there's a scripture say, how can they preach? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except God sent them? And we know that gifts and callings are without repentance. But you said something so profound about the power being demonstrated. And, you know, that's something that I'm seeing in the church of today, that there's no more power. When I came into this thing 30 years ago, the saints were laying hands, amen, and people were being delivered. People were being healed of all manner of sickness. You were even, like you said, they laid hands in this chapter, and they received the Holy Ghost. But you don't find that being taught in the modern church today, that there is even a need for this power that the apostles demonstrated, and that they waited on Jesus to send back that comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Why aren't we teaching that? Why don't you hear that? And many, I don't even really see the modern-day preacher or teacher visiting the book of Acts. We skip clean on over Acts. So can you expound on that a little bit? All right, Bishop. His line is still open. Okay. I'll wait till he come back on. This was a wonderful lesson. Wonderful lesson. He expounded on Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, and Acts 26. Amen, amen. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We're going to open up the line. We got about 12 callers on the line. Amen. All right, I see Bishop back on the line down at the bottom. Bishop?
Yes?
All right, amen. I lost you at the top. Yes, I can hear you. Did you hear my question?
Yeah, I heard him. That's fine.
Okay, can you give us some insight?
I can't hear the people ask me a question. I don't hear that. I hear what you said.
Okay. I said today, as we look at the modern day, you got
that?
Okay. Okay.
But I want to hear the people that are asking me questions about it.
All right. Okay, I'm going to open up the lines now. Mother Charity, amen. God bless you, Mother.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Any questions, any comments, go for it.
Yes, right. I enjoyed, amen, Bishop, today. Praise the Lord, Bishop. God bless you. Amen. You didn't miss a beat. Praise the Lord, amen, and explaining, amen, over there about the apostles and about the church. Amen. Glory to God. But I know that it hasn't changed in this day, too, just like Bishop, Sister Evangelist Bernard was asking a question concerning, you know, about the church of today. Do we still have to do the same thing? Is it changed any in the day and time in which we are living now? Praise the Lord. God bless.
We're living in the, as you hear me say, Sister Charity, this is the last go-round. I dealt with the two kingdoms, and you can't deny that God did call Adam. He dealt with him, said, and told him what to do, and gave him orders what to do. And he kept that from chapter number 1 to chapter number 3, and chapter number 6, he wound it up and said, the end have come. You are sorry made man. So that dispensation ended. He got Noah to start and do things. All of Adam's children was dead when the flood came and washed them away. Then he made a covenant with Noah. He told him to do something. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And then what has happened with that, that ran all the way up to the prophets and to the high priests and all like that. But then God said, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, made of a woman.
Yes. Yeah.
Born under the law. And his kingdom is everlasting kingdom.
Ah,
right.
He's going to reign on his father's throne, David. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is the last.
Okay.
This is the last one. God's word.
Yes, sir.
And so God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen. God bless you, Mother. Amen. We're going to open up Sister Leslie. God bless you. Hallelujah. You all right, Mother? Amen. Sister Leslie Priest. Amen, amen. Well, I see her down here. Let me get her down here.
Can
Sister
you hear me?
Leslie? Yes.
Hello?
I can hear you now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I give honor to God. I give honor to you, Pastor Adrian Bernard. I give honor to Bishop Singleton. I'm glad I had the opportunity to meet him. I give honor to my pastor, Pastor Beatrice Martin. I was really, really highly influenced with this lesson today because it just hit a lot of places across the board. And a lot of churches really only talk about, you know, the blessings of God and, you know, and go on to that. But this lesson I'm learning, you know, that the benefits of being baptized in Jesus' name, the benefits of and the power of being Holy Spirit and filled, and also it just lets us know that all leaders are in some type of form of persecution, and that God can take anybody, no matter your past, and use you for His work. And that just stuck out to me because I know when a lot of people come to Christ, they may be in condemnation or all this, but He can take a broken vessel and use it. And I'm just enriched, and I'm excited for the word that was given
well,
today.
You don't
and
have
I just
to
pray
have...
that God bless you, mighty man of God.
Well, you don't have to have a resume coming into this kingdom. You don't need a resume. Only thing you need to do is repent and get baptized in Jesus' name. That's what God told John, go and preach repentance. Jesus came and preached repentance. And that's what the message is today. Not where you've been, but it's where you're going. And you only can do that. You can only do that by getting right. And you get right by being born again.
Mm. My. Amen, amen, amen. Well,
thank
God bless
you so
you.
Much.
You
I was greatly blessed today.
God bless you,
all
daughter.
All right, ladies, D-Daz, God bless you.
Yes,
good
hi.
To see you with this today.
Let me thank you all for speaker. It is so, I'm so honored. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Bishop Singleton, this is Sonia Lady D-Daz in New Orleans.
Yes.
I want to tell you, sir, I am so honored to hear the word of the apostle, the Acts, from you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spirit that is within you that I've felt a driving force through the phone line just with by itself. Mm-hmm. And where I wasn't feeling too good, I'm feeling 100% better. You know, I am seeking God. I'm seeking fellowship. I'm seeking to belong in unity with people. And I'm not sure what's my direction. I thought that I was stable in one place, but I see a transition. I feel a transition that I want to do. And I don't know if I'm doing what's right or what's wrong by moving on. So I'm going to ask you, man of God, man of wisdom, if my spirit is telling me that I'm losing a little bit of happiness because I cannot let go of thought, how do I handle that with God to know if I'm making the right choice of staying or leaving?
Well, you take, daughter, the Bible is our textbook. If you go to university and whatever you're going to major in, they use textbooks for that. So the Bible is our textbook. The Word of God is the thing that we must go by, not
yes.
a man-made religion, a vain philosophy of a man-made religion. That's not it. You don't have to bring anything to Jesus Christ but a broken heart and a spirit that is transcribed.
Hallelujah.
Repent of your sin. You don't have to worry about the past. He can wash your sins away to the sea of forgetfulness, and he'll change you, and you're born again. Then you start walking with Christ. You get a church that is spirit-filled and somebody with the 5-4 ministry in them, then you can go from heights to heights, step to steps, from lofty to lofty, and you find the peace of God.
Hallelujah.
So,
because, see, that's what I was doing. I went to ministry where it's fivefold ministry and lots of people and wonderful singing and praises. And something just happened that I feel like I want to move on. but I'm not moving on going to the bottom. I'm actually trying to move on and go a little higher to not only another fivefold ministry, but like a tenfold ministry, a ministry that's just nationally, globally, wide world known, and not because of the favor of the flavor of the ministry, but because of the favor of God, of the anointing. I just want to be able to serve God.
Let me tell you this. We live in a day but big is better. In other words, God is with you because of people that you have. You know, we don't just have the four walls ministry. We got ministry that goes into the global mission in Kenya, and Ethiopia, and Burma, and all those places. We deal with ministry and things of that sort. But not bigger is better is doing what God say.
Hallelujah.
That's all it means, doing what God said. And you take the Bible, you got the Word of God.
As God direct me, do as He say. Would you please say a prayer for me just before I get quiet to let someone else speak?
But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know this soul. You know I'm down, setting up, rising. You're acquainted with all my ways. You are God and our Savior. And we thank you. We bow humbly before you. Bless this sister. Direct her, Lord. A desire in the right place and to do the right thing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We have
to use this technology that we have, and I'm so glad for my cousin. She's using it. We're talking to people all over the world.
Oh, yes, you are.
And that's the thing that's going to count is the gospel. It's not about Bishop Singleton. It's not about Bishop, or High Pocket, or Low Big Shoe, or something like that. That's not about. It's about Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, you see.
Yes.
That's
yes, hallelujah.
About.
Hallelujah.
God bless
it's
you,
about
my son.
Jesus Christ. Thank you. God bless you, too. And God bless Pastor Adrian Bernard for the connection. This is the connection. This is
awesome.
Dad's on the broadcast.
Teacher. Doing a fine job. I'm very proud of her. Adrian?
Yes, God bless you. Thank you, Lady D-Daz. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Bishop. Some have dropped off the line. We're going to go to some coming on late. Amen. You all that's tuning in late, go back on the archives. You can visit our archives at www.newdestinyministries.com, or you can go to the Blog Talk Radio and search for New Destiny Ministries, and you can certainly hear this wonderful teaching by the Honorable Bishop Alfred Singleton in its entirety. Amen. Thank God for Lady T, Bishop wife, amen. Thank God for Lady Antoinette Halton Singleton. We bless the Lord for her assisting Bishop on today. Is she near you, Bishop? We'd like to, if she'd like
well,
to have some
going
words.
She's going out of my office. And,
okay,
all
right. Okay,
so
I see Minister Aaron, your son, he's one of our faithful listeners, amen. We're going to call on Minister Aaron. God bless you. This is one of Bishop Singleton's. I think he's the third oldest son. Amen. Bishop is the father of 12 children, 8 daughters and 4 sons. Amen. God bless you, Aaron.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm on somebody's house, but I was just I'm on my godmother's house, the Embrys and all that. I just was letting them listen. But I thank God for my dad. I've been telling you, Adrian, for a while to let him get on the line, you know, to teach and preach and all that. Because, you know, that's good for him to get on the line like that, you know, do the work for the Lord. Because, you know, my dad is, you know, God been using him for many years and all that. So it's just a blessing to hear him back, to getting on these lines and doing the work for the Lord. Like he said, it ain't about him. It ain't, it's about Jesus Christ. And it is about Jesus Christ. And it's time for that, you know, and just thank God for him. I know I came in late. I've been doing some things. I had left the house. I had to take care of some things right quick, but I just thank God for my dad, because he's one of the great. You ain't heard nothing yet until he started preaching. Oh, my God. He's very. And if the people don't know him, oh, my God. He's a good teacher, very wise man, true man of God, no playing, serious about Jesus Christ. I never seen him drink or smoke, or him or my mother, a party. Never did that in my life. And God's been using him for so a long time like this. And I just thank God that you got him on his line like this, because it's just a blessing that he can reach a lot of people. And it's his, you know, it's his time, and, you know, season.
Yeah,
and all that. So if y'all don't know him on here, y'all, oh, my God, y'all ain't seen nothing. Y'all ain't heard nothing yet. Because I see him coming back on his line more. And I always tell my dad, I said, God's not done with you. I said, God still got work for him to do, and God got him around here. I see him being around here. He's 100 years old, like his former pastor down out of town. I forgot where he's from. And his former pastor is here. He's 100 years old. And I can see God putting him here the same way with his health and all.
Amen.
So I just thank God for him. That's all. He's doing a great job. Keep him coming back on the line, because he needs that. To be on there.
Amen.
I'm sorry I missed it, but I'm used to this all the time, him teaching and preaching. He's powerful and anointed. Love you.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. We thank God for you. You know, as I think about Bishop, you know, when the Lord began to deal with me about preaching and teaching the gospel, I was listening to a tape, and Bishop Singleton had preached a message, and his topic was, if it had not been for the Lord, and I don't know if Bishop remember that, but it was in 1985. He was in Stockton, California, at Bishop Stalwart Senior's Church. And I can remember just listening to Bishop, listening to that tape over and over and over again, because God was dealing with me about accepting the calling to preach and teach his word. And this was something that I really wasn't quick to delve into. I really wasn't. So I really had to seek God, because when you're in the administrative part of ministry, and then you see some things and you experience some things, and you even see people walk away and backslide. That was something that I never wanted to be on my resume. Hallelujah. When God saved me and he took me out of New Orleans and gave me another opportunity to live life, and not only live life, but live an abundant life. Amen. I wasn't able to get into anything. I was in Los Angeles about 3 months before the Lord saved me. But I remember listening to that tape when I was living in Atlanta. And Bishop Alfred was the first one that I called. And I began to ask him some questions, and I began to tell him how the Lord was just ministering to me. And I found myself just preaching a message, and I couldn't understand it. So Bishop began to counsel with me, and he began to tell me to put a fleece out, and he gave me some instructions on how to do it. And he said, and you just listen to that voice, let the Holy Ghost lead and guide you, and God will show you what it is that he would have you to do, the calling that he had on your life. And it probably was about when I really heeded the call, was maybe about 2 years or so later. Amen. But I had been working in different capacities in the kingdom of God. But to just stand before people and preach and teach, I didn't want that. I love coordinating. My cousin Dodie tell me, you always got some events going on. I love that. I have a gift. And, you know, if you're from New Orleans, you learn at an early age how to coordinate and get together parties. You start the debt, because that's what it is. It's a party city here. Amen. It's 24/7. You know, when I got to Los Angeles, California, and it was ringing the bell, God allowed me to go to a couple of clubs in those 3 months' time. But after that, I was able to go and meet my great-grandmother, nephew, and she told me, she said, you go meet my nephew, Winston. He going to help you. So the Lord brought me to Los Angeles to save me. And as I look back, Mother Cherry, 30 years later, now he has given me some tools, and I believe that I'm fully equipped to do what God has called me to do in this region. I have no desire to participate in any of the foolishness that I was a part of before I was blessed to move out of the state of Louisiana. So I just thank God for his mercy. I thank him for his grace. I thank him for the Holy Ghost, because I can truly say it will lead and guide you into all truth. Amen. And it is a keeper. Amen. So I just bless the Lord for Bishop, just to hear him just as profound and just as strong and energetic as he was 30 years ago when I first met him personally. He's still on fire for the Lord, and he still have a mind to go on. He's still preaching and teaching the gospel after 86 years and almost 70 years of preaching and teaching. Man, that is a milestone. That is a milestone. So we thank you, Bishop, for just taking out of your busy schedule today to share with our listening audience. Thank God for your lovely wife. And truly, we thank God for the work that you began right there, that you began right there in Lansing, Michigan, and even in the state of California. You know, you're leaving a great legacy in the earth for not only your children, amen, but for the saints of God all over this nation, amen, to just see you that the heights that God have blessed you to reach, I marvel at it. So we love you with the love of God, and we pray that God would bless you and continue to strengthen you where you can continue to be that voice that's crying out, and that voice that we can always call upon for counseling, call upon for a guidance and direction. That's a rarity in this day. So God bless you, Bishop. We're going to let you have the last words.
Thank you for those compliments, and I'll be talking to you. I want to talk to you about your sister. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thing is going all right with that deal?
Yes.
Good.
All is going well in that area, Bishop. God is moving, and he's moving rapidly. So we're excited about that, and we're really just waiting on that call. Amen. But everything is in place, and we just believe in God that he will certainly move speedily on Danielle's behalf. So we thank you for praying
for
her. And
we'll get the call. Just wait on it.
All right. Okay, Bishop, well, we're going to let you have the final remarks, and you can close us on out with the word of prayer. Thank God for all of you all that have tuned in today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. We'll be back on with chapters 10 and chapter 11. We're just going by a chapter per day, and however the Lord bless us for the next 2 days with a speaker, we'll be sure to let you all know ahead of time who will be ministering.
Bless out there, and we be praying for you all, and you all pray for me, and that God will sustain me in this dark hour. And the Lord is coming, people believe it, but all these things that are happening is letting us know that God is being fulfilled. This is the day of the Lord. The whole earth is filled with violence, trouble everywhere. Every day you wake up and turn on the telly, it's trouble, trouble, trouble.
Trouble, trouble, trouble. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God, the word of God is true. So you all be blessed. And we ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh God, stretch out your hand. Bless this program of my cousin, Lord. Make it very fruitful. Reach to the ends of the earth. According to your word, this gospel must be preached to all nations.
Glory to God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
In Jesus' name. Oh, God bless
Amen.
You all.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Bishop. We love you with the love of God. Amen.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power. There is power,
there is power
in the name,
in the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break, break every chain,
break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Preach